Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and because we've got lots of stuff there for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Thousands of archives of past shows, almost anything that you could possibly want to know about with regard to starting, running, and growing a small business is there in an archive with a visit that we've had with one of our really smart Brain Trust members on about 30-plus topics and lots of subcategories, so thousands of archives and thousands of articles as well written by me and by our Brain Trust members that I think will help you. Don't forget, we have a lot of different ways that you can receive that information by email, by blog, by really simple syndication. You can just go there and noodle around yourself. I hope you'll take advantage of it. And it's all free, just for you. Because, well, a number of reasons. One reason, because I'm such a nice guy. The other reason is because we have such really nice sponsors. And we thank them for that, and I hope you will too. Wilma Goldstein is our guest, our good friend, and assistant administrator of the SBA's Office of Women's Business Ownership, and one of the best friends women business owners ever had. Wilma, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Good to talk to you. And we're still celebrating Women's Small Business Month here, Wilma, on the Small Business Advocate Show. We kicked off this month earlier in the month with some women business owners, and we're still doing it, and we'd like for you to help us continue that.
Well, we'd absolutely love to. Since we talked to you last, the fiscal year ended for the government. It has nothing to do with New Year's Day, but it's our New Year's Day, October 1st.
And it's like Chinese New Year, isn't it?
That's right.
It comes at a weird time.
That's right. I said last time, since we were here until, late at night on the very last day of the fiscal year, I said, I think next year we ought to have a real New Year's party to celebrate this, because we work and work and run around like crazy until the last question is answered. And then all of a sudden the New Year starts and it's like nobody notices. I said, I'm going to throw a party next year.
Well, you need to have some kind of punctuation there, don't you?
Well, you do, and we just kept going Monday morning, and I think it was like a letdown. And I said, we came back so we could have another meeting to start more stuff and start working all over again. Now we're going to have a party next year.
Well, let me know, and I'll help you put that together next year.
All right.
Okay, what's going on in the world of women's business ownership?
Well, this year the budget and the appropriations haven't passed due to all these things of Mother Nature that Jim and I were talking about. And so we're living as usual for a couple of months on an allowance. But I think when all is said and done, we're going to have a unique opportunity next year to have openings for the most number of centers that we've ever had.
Hmm.
And
how many
so
you got now?
We have at this point 91.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen or so graduated.
Tell us what that means.
Of this fiscal year, it means that they've been through two full 5-year grants from the government. So they've graduated from our program, we hope.
So they're on their own now without any support from the government.
We think so. The legislation's not finished, but that was the original intent. Whether
right.
it will hold up or not, I don't know. And I have mixed emotions about it. They're a wonderful group and high producers, and
mm-hmm.
we're crossing our fingers and hoping that they can go on without us, but we will miss them. But we have room for a lot of new ones this year because we can probably fit about 40 in if we get the budget that we asked for, and we think we're going to do that. So it would be one of the biggest years of new centers ever, and we wanted to talk about some ways to do that.
How many, 40 did you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, that would just about double what you've got right now.
Yeah, it would. It would. It would push us.
Not double, but increase it by 50%, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got over the 100 mark last year for the first time, and I'd love to get back there. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk a little bit today about what we're going to do. We're going to do a major marketing push that we do, actually, not with money, but fortunately, with the use of a wonderful intern who's with us. And we'd like to have more joint ventures with existing economic development organizations that would host women's business centers, places like the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. the Urban League, faith-based organizations like the YWCAs, because that allows the centers to get off to a faster start. The clients are already familiar.
There are already people coming in the door, so to speak.
Right.
They're shared. You can share some assets.
Right, exactly. I mean, it enhances their ability to survive. They don't have to run around and find space.
They don't have to buy a copier and a conference room and all that kind of stuff.
And the staff help each other out because it usually means, in most economic development organizations, it usually means that there already are some other existing programs. People usually know each other, and this grant money will help push a little bit further for more clients to come in the door, the ones that we want to particularly help, the economically disadvantaged.
Well, see, I think this is really smart for you guys to head in this direction, Wilma. And the reason is because, you know, for historically, chambers of commerce have painted with a really broad brush. They had to have their big companies.
Yeah. I'm lost. I'm going to hang up. I don't know if you can hear.
And those big companies had to be able to, they had to be able to help the chambers of commerce fund their programs, and then the little companies helped out too. But a lot of times the chambers of commerce painted with their constituents, their members, with a, as far as services, with a pretty broad brush. And it seems to me that the chambers need to focus more these days on the segments of small business, because small business is a lot more dynamic, a lot more sophisticated, and frankly a lot more complicated sector of the marketplace than it used to be. You've got home-based businesses that need to be attended to. You've got women's businesses that need a little bit of extra attention, and those kinds of things. So I think that what you're talking about, Wilma, getting chambers and other organizations, especially chambers, to think about a women's business ownership center, I think that's a great idea.
Thanks. And there are other kinds of organizations, too, whose names may not be nationally known, where we already do that. And let me name a couple of places so people out there in Radio Land will know what we're talking about.
Hold on to that thought, Wilma. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Take a quick one. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. I'll be right back with Wilma Goldstein. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Wilma Goldstein. She's Assistant Administrator at the Small Business Administration's Office of Women's Business Ownership. And Wilma, give us your website, please.
Okay, we're now part of the SBA.gov website. You find us there as a link.
All right.
And I want to talk for just a couple of minutes about ways that you can contact us if you would like to be part of a group that wants a women's business center in your community.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, just as we were going on break, let me give you some examples for those of you that would like to know about places other than well-known names like Urban Leagues and Chambers of Commerce. In El Paso, Texas, we're part of a big organization. We're called the Women's Business Border Center. In Detroit, we're the Detroit Entrepreneurial Institute. We're housed there. In Los Angeles,
These, just in case, folks, somebody just tuned in, Wilma. These are women's business centers that are joint venturing, so to speak, are becoming a partner or are sharing facilities, if nothing else, with these other organizations.
Right, and we have two in California: the Pacific Asian Consortium, and a place called Charo, Charo. I was lucky enough to visit. I've visited all four of those places, and it just brings a smile to my face. Let me say just a little bit about what the qualifications are. You have to be a legally constituted 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. by the time the program announcement closes. You can find the program announcement in the Federal Register, Commerce Business Daily, and the SBA website, and we'll start putting it up probably in January of 2006. But once it's up there, we can no longer recruit or have conversations or market or talk about anything. So that's why we like to get started early.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the whole procedure by email, which is wonderful. You don't have to put anything in the mail, wonder if it got here on time. Universities are other places that can apply as long as they are not federally funded. In other words, privately funded universities can also be a host for a woman's business center. If you're interested, please email to your interest or you have any questions to Susan Byers, susan.byers@sba.gov, and include the name of your organization, who the contact person would be, your email address, and a phone number. So let's get those cards and letters coming, and I
But now, if somebody just wanted to start one on their own, I mean, there are freestanding
I'm not discouraging that. It's a little tougher way to go.
Yep.
But we're not discouraging. We just would like a balance of both kinds, because we do have the freestanding ones.
Remind us what a Women's Business Center does.
Okay. Women's Business Centers train and counsel women who are ready to start their own business. Our mission has us seeking out the socially and economically disadvantaged, but one of the wonderful things that I find about women who are not particularly hierarchical creatures is we have these combinations of people from all walks of life, because you need neither a lot of money nor a college degree to have a great business idea. And the mix of putting all those people together often ends up that when they graduate and start their businesses, they look for each other again, not only to be helpful and talk, but to do business deals together.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a place where you can come in and find out if you're well-suited to having your own business or ready. And then if you think you are, there are classes that are available and counseling that's available and mentoring groups that you can talk with through every stage of your business. And
the reason women have been doing so well in the last several years with their businesses, the reason they've been growing at such a great degree, is I think one very important thing is because women admit when they don't understand something, they ask for help,
they
get together and they talk about their challenges. Men, not so much.
Now, I always say we do about 10% of our clients are men, and they're the ones that, you know, when you put men and women in a room together and the men at one point they roll their eyes and say, oh, my God, are we ever done talking about this? Is it time to get started? That's when women are just getting started. So the guys that survive that are the ones that belong in a business center. And, you know, that works, too. But there are some differences between the two genders and the way they communicate and the way they learn. And as Jim pointed out, the willingness to ask questions. You know, women are the ones that say.
I think that's huge. I just think we can't minimize the importance of that woman. When I first started doing this show, I started encouraging all small business owners to recognize, you know, if you think you don't know something, don't think you're the only person who doesn't know that.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that, and even the people who do remember when they didn't.
Well, and you never know what you're going to learn. You may get an answer to a question that you didn't even think about in the process of getting an answer to the question you do want answered.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a great exchange. It's a wonderful thing to ask. And the company of other people can give you some just wonderful advice and great new ideas.
That's the reason why business incubators are doing so well across the country.
Right.
And it's the kind of thing that I really would like to see chambers doing more of, is segmenting their services and focusing on these different segments like women's business ownerships. Wilma, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. And
thanks.
We'll see you next time.
I want to come back and talk more about this.
We will. We'll get
okay.
you back. You're always welcome, Wilma. Wilma Goldstein, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Quick break, right back with Chuck Cadlick right after these messages. Stay with us.
I was a dancer.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.